Our question we're going to think about today is how can we be sure that justice will be done? So I'm not sure if you've been following the Hillsborough inquiry. 13 police officers are now accused of misconduct, accused of perverting the course of justice, accused of manslaughter in the case of these 96 Liverpool fans who were crushed to death. And just recently, one fan was quoted as saying, fingers crossed, justice will be done. Fingers crossed. I mean, we long for justice. Of course we do. They do. But will they get it? Or is it just fingers crossed? And I remember Doreen Lawrence. Remember her, the mother of murdered teenager Stephen Lawrence? And after 18 years of failed attempts to convict his killers, remember her saying sort of on the TV, at this moment in time, all I can think about is Stephen, and that perhaps somewhere down the line, we will get justice for him. Perhaps. Oh, this longing for justice that we all have. It's a question we all face. Can we be sure of it? I mean, each of us will face evil, will face suffering, will feel violence, face it in our own way, in our own lives. When life seems unfair, when life is unfair. And when we ourselves, particularly if we're Christian believers here today, when we are caught up in it and we think, is God going to act? How can we be sure of it? How can we be sure that he will act, that justice will be done? Is it worth trusting God with our lives and our future, with our world? Now, that's the question of Habakkuk chapter 3. And just look down at the answer in verse 16. This is the prophet Habakkuk. He's speaking about the cruelty of the Babylonians coming in judgment on God's people. He's speaking of the horrors of their invasion. But look what he says, verse 16. I heard, and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound, decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Habakkuk is shaken to the core here. He's overwhelmed with fear. And will God act? And will justice be done? And yet, verse 16, he says, I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on this nation, the nation invading us. So here is Habakkuk. He's in the midst of this evil, this suffering, this violence, and yet he trusts in God. He waits patiently for God to come, for justice to be done, and he's certain of it. He's sure of it. It's such a turnaround from the start of the prophecy. Were you here 2 weeks ago in chapter 1? Why, God? How long? I'm praying. Nothing. Why are you silent? All these complaints Habakkuk brought to God, but there are no complaints now in chapter 3. Here he's waiting patiently, he's trusting, he's confident, he's rejoicing. Do you know he's even singing? Chapter 3 is a psalm, a prayer, but it's to music, the end of verse 19, for the director of music. It's on Shigionoff in verse 1, which I'm told is an upbeat tempo. Such confidence Habakkuk has now in the Lord, in the ability to act. And he wants us to have the same confidence today. And what we're going to see is that the key to this confidence, the key to being sure that God will act, that justice will be done, is remembering what God is like. That's the key. A God we're going to see who comes for his people, verses 3 to 7. A God who delivers his people, verses 8 to 15. A God who gives strength to his people, verses 16 to 19. So that is where Christian confidence comes from. Remembering what God is like. Let's look at each of them in turn. First, the God who comes to his people. Verses 3 to 7 are a picture or a re-envisioning of sort of the Exodus events. And Habakkuk gets this vision afresh of the Lord and what he's like and what he's done. And God's the hero here, coming to his people. God came, verse 3, from Teman, from the south, the Holy One from Mount Paran. This is the area around Mount Sinai, where God first revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. And later, came to God's people, gave them his law. His glory, splendor, verse 3, his glory covered the heavens, his praise filled the earth. Verse 4, his splendor was like the sunrise, rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Do you remember the fire, the cloud around Mount Sinai? God coming to his people in great splendor and glory and power, coming to his people, leading his people to the land of promise. Verse 5, plague went before him, pestilence followed his steps. God stood, verse 6, he shook the earth, he looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled, the age-old hills collapsed, but God marches on forever. Nothing can stop him. Coming for his people, leading his people to the promised land. The Egyptians, as powerful as they were, they are now trembling before him. And so it is with Cushan, Midian, neighboring powers. They're in anguish, they're in distress before this great coming of the Lord. The Lord coming for his people. Now this is the God that Habakkuk is praying to. This is the God that Habakkuk is trusting in. A God who does act, has acted in history. A God who came to his people, cares for his people, looks out for his people, is on the move for them, and nothing can get in his way. Remember when I had appendicitis? This was back in the 1980s, and when you had appendicitis and you're having it removed, you had to be in hospital for 2 weeks. And the operation was more of a palaver than it is nowadays, and so it took a while to get over the operation, and there's some rehabilitation. I remember having to sort of learn to sort of walk again. I was very young, and because I was there for 2 weeks, every evening I had to say goodbye to mum and dad. I can't remember how old I was, probably 8 or something, but I was a young kid at the time in a ward of 12, left all by myself, and I hated it. But every evening, mum would say to me, look, I'm coming back. I'll be here in the morning, like I was yesterday, it will be tomorrow, I care for you, I'm coming for you. And I can tell you, those words were so precious to me. When you're stuck by yourself and it's at a young age and you can't sleep because all the noise that's happening and nurses coming in and coming out and people crying in pain or people snoring. I just remembered these words. Yes, mum is coming. She cares for me. She's coming for me. She's coming back. She did it yesterday. She'll do it tomorrow. And Habakkuk is saying, look, so it is with God. He is reminding himself of this, that God is coming back. He cares for his people. He comes to his people. He's done it before. He's doing it again. Look at him in verse 2. Lord, I stand in awe of your deeds, as he remembers them. And then he says, repeat them in our day. You are a Lord who does these things, who comes to people. So do it again today. And one of the great cries of the Bible is, come, Lord Jesus, come. Some of the last words in the Bible. We can pray it as Christians with great confidence. Because the Lord is the Lord who comes to his people. In the book of Hebrews, the author quotes Habakkuk and says to Christians, do not throw away your confidence. Do not throw it away, quote, because in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. So this is the great confidence we can have. In a world of evil and suffering and violence and whatever you're facing right now, God is coming. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And he won't delay, and nothing can stop him. Second thing to see from these verses is that God is a God who delivers his people. So that's why he comes, to help his people and save his people, to bring justice. And the key verse here is verse 13. You came out for what? To deliver your people, to save your anointed one. And here in verses 18 to 15, the picture here is of God on his chariot, and he's riding to victory. And the seas and the rivers are doing his bidding as he parts the Red Sea and stops the River Jordan. And then there's creation standing still in verse 11, sun and moon. Is that in the time of Joshua, giving Joshua victory? And then verses 12 to 15, this is the heart of it, where the Egyptian army get defeated. And deliverance comes for God's people, a God who comes and delivers his people. And this was the assurance Habakkuk needed. As he had this, imagine the Babylonian judgment coming, and he saw this evil and violence around him. Will you come, God? Will you act? Will justice be done? And yes, he realized, of course it will. Because this is who God is. And this is what God has done. And if he's done it before, he'll do it again. Now, of course, we don't think like that so much today. And we have phrases like, the past is no indication of the future. And the investment funds warn us, don't they, in the small print, past performance is no guarantee of future returns. And so we may think, well, just because something's happened in the past, it doesn't mean it will happen in the future. But with God, it's the opposite. If he's done it before, he can do it again. If he's promised to do it, he will do it. Absolutely. Certainly. And he did it in 587 BC, God's justice coming on God's people. He did it in 539 BC, God's justice, as he promised, coming on Babylon. And ultimately, he does it, we see it, in his own Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ, him coming not from the south, but coming from heaven. And not to deal with the slavery of the Egyptians, the tyranny of the Babylonians, but the slavery and tyranny of sin. It's very striking in verse 2 that as Habakkuk gets this renewed confidence in God's ability to act and his justice, so he now pleads with God for mercy. Do you notice that at the end of verse 2? In wrath, remember mercy. And that is because Habakkuk knows that, you know, all of us by nature deserve God's justice, you know, on our lives, deserve God's wrath for our sin. None of us have loved God as we should. None of us have loved one another as we should. There is evil in our own hearts, evil in my heart. There is anger. There is pride. There is the suffering and violence we bring to others, perhaps not in action, but in word or in thought. But here's the thing. God is a merciful God. Yes, he's just. Yes, he will rightly judge it, but he's a merciful God. And so Habakkuk says, God, in your wrath, remember mercy. And wonderfully, he does remember mercy. But it comes at a cost. And it comes at the cost of his own Son. So you remember Jesus on the cross and the mocking cries. You know, he saved others, but he can't save himself. But that is exactly the point. It cannot be both. Justice is coming. Sin will be paid for. It must be paid for. So either Jesus can save himself or he can save others. It can't be both. And wonderfully, incredibly, Jesus Christ chooses not to save himself, but to give up himself. Not to save himself, but to pour out himself for you, for me, and for the sin of the whole world. Now that is what God is like, the God of the Bible. And that is what God has done for us in time, in history, 2,000 years ago. He has acted. He has done it. And past performance with God is a guarantee of future results. God is coming back for us. He loves us. He died for us. And all that we are going through right now will come to an end because God is the God who delivers his people. Isn't that marvelous? So he's a God who comes for his people. He's a God who delivers his people. Thirdly, he's the God who gives strength to his people. These last few verses of Habakkuk, they are a remarkable statement of faith. I mean, you'll remember the prophecy started with all these questions of why and how long and bringing his complaints to the Lord. He's confused. He's questioning. But here at the end of the prophecy, we see Habakkuk, he's trusting in his Lord. And no matter what comes his way, so look at verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold, and no cattle in the stalls. You know what this imagery is? This is the imagery of God's judgment through the Babylonians. This is a national crisis. This is devastation all round. People have been stripped of everything. And yet, verse 18, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Now, how can Habakkuk say that? It's easy to say you trust in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord where it's all going well. What about when disaster strikes? What about when you've lost everything? Verse 19, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to tread on the heights. Now, what is it that has happened to Habakkuk? What has he discovered? What is the source, the ultimate source of his newfound confidence and trust and joy in the Lord despite this horrific disaster that's happening to him and this evil, this suffering? It is this. He has discovered afresh God himself. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. Habakkuk, he may have been stripped of everything, but he has not been stripped of the Lord. He's got his God, his Lord, his Savior, his strength. And ultimately, he knows that God is everything. The one thing you need in this life, in this fallen world, the one who does love us, the one who has died for us, the one who is coming for us, the one who will wipe away all tears, the one who will bring an end to suffering. And death will be no more. Habakkuk knows that if you have got God, you have got everything you need for life. He is our strength. He makes our feet like the feet of a deer. 30 to 35 miles per hour, apparently, a deer can get up to. In stride, apparently it can jump over 8 feet, 7 feet from a standstill. Deer can climb up steep embankments. They seldom slip, if at all. They rarely fall, if at all. And this is a picture of what God does for his people. The Lord is our strength. Can I just say that this does not minimize pain or suffering in this life? Can I say that this does not downplay the reality of evil and injustice that we see in the world around us? But what it does mean is that the Lord is our strength to face it. We may be tempted to look elsewhere, to look to ourselves, but he is all we need. If we've got him, we've got everything. He is the one who enables us to tread on the heights. Look, now this is our last Thursday before the summer break, and who knows what spiritual challenges lie ahead for you, for me, today, tomorrow, this year. But whatever does come our way, your way, suffering, evil, injustice, we live in a fallen world, it will happen, you will face it, but when it comes, will you know this and will you remember this, that God is enough? He is all you need to get through life. He has rescued you in the past. He is coming for you in the future. And he is your strength now in the present. Now, do you see that? We remember that. Do you know what the word Habakkuk means? Embrace. And this is my hope and prayer for you all here, that as we come to the end of Habakkuk, the end of this series, the end of the year, you would embrace your God, your Lord, your Savior, your strength. Cling to him, trust him, no matter what comes your way. Let's pray. Father God, it is a marvelous turnaround in the life of Habakkuk as we see him going from these questions, these confusions, to this remarkable statement of faith, trusting you, clinging to you, embracing you, rejoicing in you, singing to you. And how, Lord, do we long to have this same confidence? Thank you that we can have it as we come to see afresh, more deeply, who you are, what you've done for us. One who has rescued us from sin, one who is coming for us, one who is our strength now, day to day, the one we need, all we need, that you are enough. Please help us, each of us, wherever we're coming from, to believe this and have the same confidence as we leave today, so that no matter what we face, we know that if we've got you, we've got everything. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.